You are Locked On the NFL, your daily NFL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, hello, hello. I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL Podcast. It is Wednesday, but Mike Renner will not be able to join us, unfortunately. He is traveling. So we're going to kind of do another impromptu get-together here. Some follow-up from yesterday's Twitter Tuesday, which was fun, is a lot of you asked me to break down the NFC playoff picture much as I did the AFC playoff picture yesterday. So that's going to be the first segment here, is we're going to dig right into the NFC. If you want further details on the Cowboys, the Redskins, Eagles, whoever, check out the Locked On respective podcast for those different shows. And a lot of good games this upcoming week. We're brought to you by Blue Chew today. I'll tell you about them after we break this down. So without any further ado, let's dig into the NFC. Now, somebody's going to win the East, obviously. I think it's going to be Dallas. Right now, they and the Redskins are both at 6-5. Giants are out of it. Eagles are only at 5-6, and a couple weeks ago, if you remember, like when the Redskins had all those O-line injuries and Alex Smith got hurt, Dallas wasn't playing quite as well, I told all you guys, man, the NFC East, they just pulled out a silver platter for the Eagles. And since then, I don't feel that way, but they're Super Bowl champs, I love Wentz, starting to create a running game as we talked about yesterday with Allen. That secondary is in such bad shape, though. I tend to think Washington is the team with the least chance, is the least of the three teams' chance of winning. But let's go through their schedules a little bit here and kind of break down how we think this is going to play out in the East. All right, let's start with Dallas because they got a tough one Thursday night tomorrow. And as usual, Mike Sando and I will break that one down at the end of tomorrow's podcast. But they got the Saints. I mean, at least it's home. But I don't like their chances. I mean, New Orleans is playing so well. Then they host the Eagles, which is a huge game. You know, especially the way I just laid out the East. Then they go to the Colts. Not easy. I mean, they could be 0-3 in that stretch. But then they finish the season with Tampa at home at the Giants. And I do think Dallas is playing the best football in the East. I mean, pretty clearly balanced. I mean, now they have a little bit of a passing game. The Cooper trade was gigantic for them in a positive manner. They've reeled in Dak a little bit, and they're giving them guys to throw to. Of course, they run the ball well. And it's a really good defense. I mean, it's clearly... Washington has a good defense, too. But Dallas is, I think, clearly the best defense in that division. So, I kind of like where they're sitting, but I don't love what they have ahead of them. Washington and Philly meet this week in Philly. Huge game, obviously. These two teams play twice more. And I guess if Washington wins both those, I just don't have a lot of faith in the Redskins right now. But I guess that gives the Eagles... Eagles have three of their last five games are division games. So that might be the difference in them winning the division or waiting at home. But let's look at the Eagles' schedule a little further. Like I said, they have Washington at home, go to Dallas, as we mentioned, go to the Rams. I kind of overlooked that one. And it's not late enough in the season that the Rams are going to rest anybody. Host Houston. Houston's a better team than Philly. And then they go to Washington. I mean, how many wins are in that five? Two and three the rest of the way? That ain't going to get it done. Yeah, the more I think about Philly, the less I like their chances. And then Washington... Their schedule's obviously easier. They got to go to Philly this week, and they end the season with Philly at home, as we just mentioned. And in between there, Giants at home, go to Jacksonville. I mean, Jacksonville's, they've given up the ship. And then they go to Tennessee. So I guess I'll take Dallas to win that division. And even though I think Philly's better than Washington, I think Philly has... just too tough a road. The North, now, there's still, I guess, three teams in it. I mean, the Lions are 4-7. The Packers are 4-6-1. I guess they're still in it. Let's talk Packers first here, though, because I don't think they're playing very well. I don't think they're, you know, we're going to get to them here in a little bit, too. They host the Cardinals. They're going to win that game. They host the Falcons. That's a coin flip to me, but I would probably take the Packers since it's in Green Bay late in the year. They go to Chicago. They're going to be a dog in that game. They go to the Jets, and then they host the Lions. So it really isn't that far-fetched for them to go 8-7-1. Does that get you in as a wild card? I tend to think not. So that to me is like best case scenario for the Packers. The Vikes are 4-6-1 because they tied the Packers earlier in the year. They're in second place in the North. They go to New England, go to Seattle, host Miami, go to Detroit, Chicago at home. That looks like three more wins to me, which gets you to, 9-6-1. I guess that gets you in. So I think the Vikes get in and are probably a better team than their final record indicates. They're a little bit more dangerous team than their final record indicates. The Bears are sitting at 8-3, and they go to the Giants this week. I think they win that game, although New York's playing a little better. Host the Rams. Not an easy game for the Rams. I mean, that's for sure. In Chicago late in the year. The Bears will be a dog in that game, but Green Bay in Chicago, we mentioned that. And then they finish at San Fran. They're going to win that game, and at Minnesota. So I'm pretty confident that the Bears win their division. All right, we will finish out the NFC in a moment, but let me tell you about our friends at Blue Chew. B-L-U-E, chew.com, promo code locked on. And I often tell you, and we're going to get to some coaching things here coming up, that the last segment of the show is going to be coaches on the hot seat. And if your coach isn't getting the job done, you got to make a change. Well, sexual performance is awfully important too. Maybe as important as your head coach. I mean, the whole scheme of things. If it's not working out for you, brother, go make something happen. So go to BlueChew.com. You can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, man. Go to BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue, like I said. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. But what's better about this product is you can take it anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. But because it's a chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill. So you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. I never really understood that. Like, hey, I'm going to take a pill, hon. Meet you in an hour. Hopefully the kids don't come home. This is so much more convenient. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. And we got a special deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. All you got to pay is $5 for shipping. Why wouldn't you do that? I mean, BlueChew.com, promo code locked on to try it free. It's the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them very much for supporting our wonderful podcast. Good stuff there from Blue Chew. All right. Let's get back to the rest of the NFC. The South, Saints are going to win the division. They're 10-1. Carolina is at 6-5 after losing their last three. The Falcons are at 4-7. The Bucks are at 4-7. They're both cooked. Done. Panthers are a better team than this, and they're a better team than their three-game losing streak would show you. But some questionable coaching decisions. Came to Pittsburgh on a short week and had a really tough time there. So I think they can, get back in the race for sure. But I don't like the recent developments, that's for sure. And they go to Tampa. I think they win that game. They go to Cleveland, which at this second seems like a coin flip, but they're still better than the Browns. Host the Saints. Host Atlanta. Go to the Saints. Do the Saints need anything in Week 17? I don't know. So I tend to think Carolina wins at least three of these. Well, maybe not at least three of them. They lose the Saints twice. How bad does New Orleans need it? I think the Carolina Panthers are they might look back at this three-game stretch and be like, man, we blew that. What a problem. They're probably 9-7 when it's all said and done. Like I said, they're 6-5 now. But they could easily be 10-6. And again, that Saints game might not mean anything to New Orleans at the end of the year, depending how LA's going. So I give the Panthers about a 50-50 shot. New Orleans, like I said, goes to Dallas tomorrow, goes to Tampa, goes to Carolina, hosts the Steelers, hosts the Panthers. Is there a loss in there? Probably one. I mean, they could lose in Dallas if Dallas controls the game. So I think there's probably one more loss, and then maybe it's that last end of the year, nobody needs it type of deal, which means the Saints are 14-2. So at worst, they're going to be the 2 seed. The Rams are also 10-1. You know, if we go to the West here, Saints obviously beat them head-to-head. We've talked a little bit about some upcoming Rams games. They go to Detroit. They go to Chicago, which I think they might lose that one, like I said. Host the Eagles at Arizona, host the Niners. Wow. The more I look at that, the more I think New Orleans can't take their foot off the brake in Week 17, because unless the Rams lose in Chicago, I think they sweep this thing and therefore are a 15-1 team. So they're obviously sitting very pretty. They're a great team. Cardinals and Niners are out of it, obviously. Seattle's playing very good football, and that win in Carolina could absolutely be the difference between staying home or getting into the playoffs, especially if we operate under the assumption that Minnesota is going to go, which is probably a little unfair, but you know, Seattle beating Carolina obviously is very helpful, and they're playing playoff-caliber football with a playoff-caliber quarterback, and they host the Niners this week, which you got to like that. Then they host the Vikes, which, as we lay this out on the final leg here and going to the West, maybe that game has more playoff implications than originally thought. And maybe it's a difference between a 5-6 seed, you know, those type of deals. But then they go to the Niners. So they're going to win two of their next three, and maybe three of their next three. And I like it from a Seattle standpoint that you get Minnesota at home. San Francisco's terrible. Then you get the Chiefs at home. They might win that. They might win that. And then you get Arizona at home. So there's basically three guaranteed wins here for the Chiefs, which would then, you know, I think they end up being 10-6. They're 6-5 now. Three of their next five, I think, are as guaranteed as you can get in this league. And do they split with the Chiefs and Vikes? They very well could in Seattle. I mean, I think that's the key here is Minnesota and the Chiefs both have to come to Seattle to finish the year. So four of the last five Seahawk games are at home. That's really big, really big. Okay, we are going to take a quick break. And as I mentioned before, we're going to finish out the show with coaches on the hot seat. My old employers over at ESPN, each of their Sports Nation guys, you know, their individual team reporters all wrote up a little thing saying, you know, are our coaches on the hot seat? Is it warm? Is it cold? Those type of things. So I'm going to buzz through those and give my opinions here in a moment. All right, let's go through this list of coaches on, we'll start with the hot seat, which is the guys that are in their most danger. Mike McCarthy, you know, we talked about the Packers a little bit yesterday. They're 4-6-1. They also tell you their record as their head coach. He's 125-76-2 over his 13 years. But it sure seems like Rodgers isn't happy, and the season has not gone well. I think this is a foregone conclusion. I think he's out. And it'd be really interesting. And like I said yesterday, I think this will be the best available job. So they should get basically pick of the litter of what coaches they can get. The Jets, Todd Bowles, who I've mentioned before, he was our defensive back coach of the Browns. I'm rooting for him, but he's 23-36 over his 4 years. Jets are now 3-8. really bad loss to Buffalo. I mean, so I tend to think, you know, I mean, they're not going to make a change at general manager. I do think this coaching change happens. Hopefully it's somebody that was really high on Sam Darnold, and I would think you'd want to go quarterback whisperer type. Tons of cap space. Maybe you look at it and say, the Patriots can't be dominating the East for much longer. Maybe we're the next team up a year or two from now. So it's not a bad gig. High-pressure gig, obviously, but I think that one opens up too. Tampa Bay, I also think, opens. Really interesting. We've talked about this a lot. You know, what's going to happen with Jameis? We'll see. I'm still a supporter. They are 4-7, though. We just talked about how they're out of it. Their cutter's 18-25. Not exactly the most patient organization to begin with. Make a lot of moves each offseason. Doesn't seem to work. They really need to build a culture in Tampa Bay. Maybe you want to find a veteran-type coach that has done it before and really knows the ins and outs, as opposed to the up-and-comer there. You know, somebody that's stable. But I think that one opens. The warm seat, Arizona's 2-9, and they might be the worst team in the league. I mean, they just got manhandled by the Chargers after going up 10-0. Didn't score another point. They said they're 2-9. But it's Wilkes' first year. They already fired their offensive coordinator, but they just drafted a quarterback. I would think he's safe for another year. You know, build a line. You know, what do you do with Leftwich as the offensive coordinator going forward? I think Wilkes is safe in Arizona, but I hear what they're saying. Harbaugh with the Ravens. He's 100 and wins 71 losses over his 11 years. The Ravens are 6-5. They might end up in the playoffs. It's definitely a transition period there. You know, Ozzie's gone. Lamar is in. This one would not surprise me at all if they said, we're both just going to walk away. You know, like, when he's not fired, we both just decided to part ways. And then maybe he goes and takes over Tampa or something like that. Or takes a year off and then quickly is hired somewhere else. That's just my hunch, because I feel like the team is transitioning. You know, how long are the Weddles and Yondas and all those guys still going to be around? Suggs, for sure, obviously. So it might be youth movement, Lamar time, new coach time in Baltimore, and maybe that is the best move for all. Although I think Harbaugh's a very good coach. Next up, stayed in the AFC North, Marvin Lewis. Bengals are 5-6. Starting quarterback's out. Although it sounds like AJ Green's probably going to come back this week. But the wheels are a little bit off here. Defense is awful. Hired Hugh Jackson. Fired Terrell Austin. I think he also mutually parts ways. I've been told that he built himself a retirement home in Arizona. I'm sure he's, you know, got plenty of money. He's been 16 seasons in the league. He's 130, 118, and 3 over those times. No playoff wins. I think they part ways, and everyone's happy about it. Time to get out from that if I'm Marvin. Be done. Move on. I'm just, you know, thinking as if I were him. Maybe he wants to battle this thing till the end. But if they sign if they make Hugh Jackson the head coach, holy smokes. I mean, you talk about the Bengals going back to being the team that I remember growing up that was, you know, a laughingstock of the league. They're not that far from that if they go down that road. I got to think Jason Garrett is safe now, especially if they went out, and we talked about that one. Listen, obviously earlier in the show, I like what the Cowboys are doing. They're now 6-5. He's 73-58 over his 9 years. I think he's safe. A couple weeks ago, I didn't say that. So if they blow up and implode these final 5 games starting tomorrow night, on national TV, you can see Jerry Jones not liking them, losing by 40 to the Saints or on national TV. Something like that happens. But I tend to think they're a playoff team and that he's safe. Doug Marrone in Jacksonville, they're 3-8, and they may end up 3-13 because I just don't think they have anything going for them right now. New quarterback. Guess that's the right call. Marone is 14-15 over his 3 years, including, you know, one good year last year. We've talked Jacksonville to death. I mean, I think this team's going to go back to being a bottom feeder, kind of like I implied with the Bengals. Actually, Baltimore could go that way soon, too. They have a lot of contract problems. I think Marone gets replaced, and I'm not sure that I blame him. But they already got rid of their offensive coordinator. They got rid of their quarterback. It just seems like times they are a-changing in Jacksonville. I think Washington's safe. Jay Gruden, they're 6-5. So many injuries the last 2 years. He's 34-40-1 over his 5 years. I don't see this one. I mean, I know they're only saying he's on the warm seat, but I think he should be in this next category, which is the lukewarm seat. They rank these guys in five different categories, so these lukewarm guys are kind of middle of the road. Vance Joseph in Denver. 3 weeks ago, I would have said he's out. But two big wins against two good teams, going the right direction. We talked yesterday how their remaining schedule is pretty formidable. I don't know that he's a good coach, but I think he's back. Adam Gase, they're also 5-6. He's basically 500 over his 3 seasons, 21-22. I feel like he's more of a coordinator than a head guy, and it sure didn't seem like they trusted Tannehill at all. So does he have a quarterback? This team has been middling for so long, and they may be worse than middling, you know, for a while. If Tannehill's not the answer, what are you really hanging your hat on there in Miami? Is the coach the type of guy that can take this thing over and, elevate all those guys around him? Is a coaching change the right move? Maybe not, you know. So that one's kind of a coin flip to me. Fun little show here today. It would have been great if Mike would have been here. We will get him back on next Wednesday. And we didn't have Sando last week, so we will have Sando because of Thanksgiving. So we will have Sando tomorrow. That's always a great show, previewing a good game. Everybody take care. Over and out.